Turning this evening to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1. The first Gospel, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 1. And my subject is really the genealogy of grace, the record of grace, the chronicles of grace. It's all here. It is the genealogy of promise. Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Between the last prophet of the Old Testament and the Gospel of Matthew, you have 400 years. This is often called the 400 years of silence. No prophet was given any word of prophecy. It was a complete silence when it comes to the revelation. But suddenly, here is the genealogy. The Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world. This is a lofty genealogy, a great genealogy. But remember, this was inspired genealogy, sacred genealogy. And it is not a legend. It is not just a Christmas story. Remember that. This is reality. It is factual. And legends and fictions have never changed the life of a person. Remember that also. A fiction will never transform a soul. It's impossible. Because at the end of the day, it will be debunked. It will show itself to be a big lie, falsehood, and only deceit. But this is reality. Now, there are people, and I have met some, there are people in this world who do not have a single document to identify who they are. No birth certificate, no ID, no passport, nothing, no national insurance number. They just live for themselves. They have never seen any paper, actually. And I have met some, really. But you see, in the Bible here, genealogies are very important. You may think this is boring, just reading names. But every name is there because God wanted that name to be there by inspiration. And this is, again, so beautiful before our eyes. Oh, every name speaks volumes. And the Jews, they loved to keep the records. Here in Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, you have in just the 17 first verses, you have 45 names. And when you go to the Gospel of Luke, you have there a number of 74 names. And Matthew and Luke are the only two genealogies in the New Testament. Only the two long genealogies, of course. So you can see their importance. And they go back 2,000 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. 2,000 years of history just condensed in 45 names. And remember also, the genealogy here is selective. It is thematic, not exhaustive. Matthew is not given every father, every grandfather. That's why I said it is selective. He's just using names, different names inspired by God in order to instruct us, in order for our learning, for our instruction, and for our correction. So believe me, Every name in the Bible is important. Not just every name, but every word. Every word is important for our souls. But my question, how can a list of names, just names, be any good to my soul or to your soul? And this is why what we want to consider this evening for the lapse of time we have before us. But you see, Matthew goes back to Abraham. This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of Abraham. Why Abraham? Because every Jew reading this genealogy will remember Abraham was the father of the nation. They were proud to have Abraham as their father. But you see, in the New Testament, we read that Abraham is not just the father of an ethnic Jew. He's not just the father of a physical nation. He's a father. He's the father of believers, those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have been circumcised of the heart, those who have repented from their sins as Abraham did. Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, we read Abraham believed in God. And this is really the real children of Abraham, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, the Gospel of Luke goes back to Adam, not just Abraham, but actually, let me even go further. He doesn't stop at Adam. He tells us in his last verse in Luke chapter 3, speaking about the genealogy, that Adam was the son of God. One goes to Abraham, the other one goes to Adam, the father of all the whole human race, and even further to God, God who created all things, who made everyone, who rules over everything. My dear friends, I wish I don't detain you for long. That's my prayer tonight. But remember, there are only two books. You see in verse 1, the book of the generation. There are only two books. The first book is in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2. So you see, Matthew here goes back to the Old Testament because the gospel didn't start in the New Testament. The gospel goes back to the Old Testament. And in Genesis chapter 5, verse 2 there, you find the generation of the living. But there is something, there are those two books. You are either in the book of Adam or you are in the book of Jesus Christ. And we read, in Adam, we all die. When you go back to Genesis chapter 5, this is actually the spiritual necrology. And he died. And he died. And he died. It's there in Genesis chapter 5. It reminds me what the Bible says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. You know it by heart, I'm sure. The wages of sin is what? Is death. And he died. And he died. But here in Matthew chapter 1, what a good news. And he begat. And he begat. And he begat, it means, and he gave life to, and he gave life to. You see the opposition between the two books? In Adam you die. In Adam you die in your sins, but in Jesus Christ you receive life, and you receive eternal life. That's the good news we are given in the Word of God. And you see again, in the first book, as I told you, it's only about death in Genesis chapter 5. But here in Matthew chapter 1, I challenge you, read the 25 verses of Matthew chapter 1. You will not find death even once. Death is not mentioned. Why? Because Jesus Christ came into this world to give life. To give life. Life to us, life to you and me, if we trust in him, if we yield our lives to his majesty, bowing down our knees before him and trusting in his merits because he came to die on the cross of Calvary for all the people who will believe in him. But this is not a cock and bully story. It is a divine story. The genealogy features again all sorts of people. When you read the 17 first verses, you find all kinds of people, nice people, naughty people. They are all there. You find obscure names, names that are only here. You don't hear about them anymore. But you find also outcasts, murderers. You find men and women, which is also an anomaly. It was very special, this genealogy. I think I'm not exaggerating by telling you this is revolutionary, because the Jews will never put the name of a woman in their genealogies. Why? When you look at the genealogy in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 3, there, you don't find one single woman in the genealogy. One single one. Even Mary is not mentioned there. But here, the outcasts, men and women, the murderers, the liars, the deceivers, they are all here. The fornicators, they are listed. Jesus Christ is surrounded by deceived and sinners. But you see, they don't contaminate him, because he's God, he's pure, he's holy. And he came to make you a holy person, a pure person. And it doesn't mean you will be without sin. You will never be sinless in this world. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to fight and to defeat and to destroy sin in your life. Sin will not have dominion over you. And my dear friends, I hope you will agree with me that this is the biggest problem of our world today. Why we hate one another? Why we do not like one another? Why are we not helpful to one another? Why parents or children do not love one another as they ought to? Why the broken marriages? Why all the murders, the crimes you hear happening? You don't need even to look at television or to read the newspapers. Sometimes it's happening before your eyes. The criminality, the gangsters happening in our world today, the brigands, the renegades, the malefactors, the thieves. The rate of criminality. Our world is a dangerous world. When you go out, I'm sure you pray twice or 10 times. But you see, all these things are here to show us the love of God. And the genealogy also, among the futures, it presents to us Jews and Gentiles. The Jews were so proud of their genealogy. Look how pure we are. Our blood is not mixed with impurity, because the Gentiles were considered to be dogs, unclean. That's why, you remember our title? The Genealogy of Grace. Oh, my dear friends, only Christ could address our problem of sin. He came to redeem us. Through the genealogy, we could also see the progression of sin. Read it for yourself later. You will see three steps. Number one, creation from Abraham. Number two, you have corruption with the deportation. And number three, conversion. The genealogy is made of 14 generations three times. There is a technicality there, but I dare not enter. It will just spoil all what we are saying tonight. But you can see how the it is so orderly. Some people, they read it, they don't see the order. Why? Because God is the God of order. And believe me, where the Lord Jesus Christ is, there will never be anarchy. There will never be a chaos. There will never be confusion. It is very orderly. Very orderly. One step after the other. So it's all before us. Oh, Christ is the friend of sinners. Christ is the beginning, the climax, the bookend of everything. Read it for yourself. How does verse 1 begins? This is the book of generation of Jesus Christ, the bookend. And verse 25 ends with whom? With the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 16, verse 17, Jesus Christ. Verse 21, Jesus Christ. Verse 23, Emmanuel, Jesus Christ. You see, he's the climax, he's the heart, he's the beginning, and everything in between and the end. He must be the beginning and the end of your life. Otherwise, you are a nobody. Oh, Christ is not ashamed to be associated with us. My dear friends, before I really explain more, do you know this is your spiritual DNA, Bible.com? You won't find that on internet. But this is also your ancestry, Bible.com. This is really the genealogy you need. Some people, and I have met, I come from a culture that people are very, very proud of their ancestors and their ancestry. Actually, the first page of the Bible that made me to read the Bible, the New Testament, this is many, many years ago. I was 22. The first thing that whet my appetite to even have a look at the New Testament are the names. Genealogy, Matthew 1, verse 1 to 17. Oh, this man, this Jesus Christ, look at his genealogy. He must be somebody important. He must be somebody important. So that's why I said, this is the genealogy of Christ for you and for me tonight. The genealogy is so important. Christ is the only king whose kingdom will be without end. Now look at verse 1. This is the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, son of David, son of David, son of Abraham. But you see, Christ is the fulfillment of all the prophecies of God, all the promises of God also. And there are many kings here. Most of the people listed for us, the men, are kings. But do you know what? Look at verse 6. The only person who has the title king is David. Nobody else has the title king except David. And David's name is mentioned 4 times, I believe. Just as you read it, scroll it very quickly. 4 times. There are 2 people in the Jewish nation history, Abraham, the father of the nation, and King David. King David is the great king because, as I told you this morning, in 2 Samuel chapter 7, God promised that one of David's descendants will be on the throne of David and he will reign on that throne forever. I highlight and emphasize the word forever. Solomon, the son of David, ruled over the nation of Israel. How many years? 40 years. Is that forever? And since the deportation, you know, the people were taken into captivity. I believe that the city of Jerusalem was completely destroyed in 586. And since then, even when the people came back from captivity, there have never been somebody as a king on the throne of David until the Lord Jesus Christ came. But remember, Jesus Christ came not as a political king, not as a political president or emperor. He came to rule over our hearts. Oh, to rule over my heart. And to make me to be a dignified person. Without him, with the indignation of each one of us, ruined, totally bruised, totally defeated by sin, corrupted by ourselves. But in Christ Jesus, oh, my dear friends, I wish I have better words. In Christ, you are dignified. Some people are very proud when the queen knights them. They become sirs or madam. But this is better. To be honored by the Lord Jesus, this is better. Why? Because you become the child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And no man's hands touches you. It's the Holy Spirit that touches you. God himself touches you. So you see, this is not a genealogy just about Jesus, but the genealogy of sinners. You and me, this is our genealogy without the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, not to spend time. I won't tell you more about Abraham. You know, Abraham was not perfect. You remember the story, the record about Hagar? You remember how he lied? Oh, I want to worry you or trouble you with Jacob. Jacob, you know the name Jacob means supplanter. It means deceiver. He deceived his father. And they are all here before us. Solomon, the man who has received wisdom from God. But look at it, 700 wives, 300 concubines. There was no king in this world. You know, today there are countries where they are proud of being polygamists, but they will never beat Solomon. But this is him. Just a sinner like you and me. That's why when he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he said, you know, the leitmotiv there, vanity of vanities, all is what? All is vanity. Without God, we should add. Without God, your life is just like a wind, just like the air, just like a flower that withereth without Jesus Christ. But look at them. Some of the names here are totally unknown. But Jesus Christ came to redeem the unknown, the nobodies, like you and me. The government doesn't know even about you and me, except by a number. But God knows us. He knows each one of us personally. The nobodies and the unknown are made known by God. He came to redeem us. Listen to our catalog, my dear friends. Jesus Christ is the only one in this list without sin. If you don't mind me, I want to mention some kings here, and you will see how wicked, wicked, believe me, my dear friends, they were wicked. You wouldn't want to have them in your genealogy. This morning, I was telling you, I met some people, they wish they can change their surnames. And actually, in my small life, I met two men. I know them even now. They have changed completely their identity because they don't want to be called anymore by their fathers. And here in this city. But look at the wickedness behind the kings. This is the only person in the world who can choose which family. Which mother? Oh, my dear friends, remember Jesus Christ is the ancestor of his own mother. He is the father and the grandfather and the great grandfather of his own mother. Because he's God. Look at the first one in verse 7. Roboam. And I tell you, we don't have time to read the verses back in the Old Testament, but this man did evil, for he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. This is a king of the nation. Normally, the kings were chosen to set their hearts on the Lord, but this is a king that spurned and he hated God. Look at verse 7 again. Abiah there is mentioned. He was an idol worshiper. He worshipped idols and he walked in all the sins which his father did before him. And his heart was not wholly through to God. Look at Joram in verse 8. Joram in verse 8, the ninth king of Judah. He too, he did evil in the eyes of God. It's interesting, in the Old Testament, when a king is bad, a bad king is mentioned, always we see the name of his mother. That's interesting also. And here with Joram, he built high places and caused people to prostitute themselves. Or you know Ahaz in verse 9. In verse 9, the wicked king. And he even sacrificed his own son. He burned his own son into fire. He passed him through fire. Or look at in verse 10, King Manasseh. Oh, if you want to study a king and see the grace of God, this is the king you need to study. And this man did evil before God, and he offered even children sacrifices also. And he ruled over the nation of Israel for 55 years. 55 years of tyranny, 55 years of dictatorship under Manasseh. But thank God, you know what happened to this king? He was taken into captivity and he suffered there like a prisoner. But when he came back, he sought the Lord again. And God exercised mercy upon him. We could go on and on upon every name. May I give you another one in verse 10? In verse 10, Ammon, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He served the idols and worshiped the idols. And the nation of Israel, God forbade them to worship idols. Why? Because the first commandment is what? Worship only God. You shall not have graven images before him. And this is what Ammon has done in his life. Ammon was finally murdered by his own servants. Oh, my dear friends, time is going rapidly. But just think about it. Instead of this being the hall of fame, it's really the hall of shame. That's how you have to look at it. It's shame after shame, shame after shame. But I don't want to stop here. There is something extraordinary that is going to happen before us. In this genealogy, you find the list of five women. And those five women, some of them with dubious character. And this was, again, an act of the grace of God. But for me, it's interesting because you don't find the great matriarchs. The great matriarchs are not found in this genealogy. No Sarah, no Rebecca, no Rachel, no Leah, no Deborah. But instead, you find names that you wouldn't choose. And the Lord Jesus Christ surrounded himself by these women. And the gospel, my dear friends, is for all, men and women, because Christ came to set free men and women equally, for both are heirs together of the grace of life. We read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Heirs together of the grace of life. In Christ Jesus, the woman is not superior. The man is not superior. Equal to the grace of life. If you don't mind me, before I close, I just give you some of them. Look at the first one mentioned, Tamar. Tamar, she is mentioned for us here in Matthew chapter 1. And who is Tamar? Tamar married one of the sons of Judah. She married that son. And when the son died, another brother married her. But that brother played a fool with her because he said, I don't want to have an heir from an outcast. And she took matters in her hand. She stood as a harlot, as a prostitute somewhere, and she waited for the father of her husband's, Judah. And he took her, and from her, twins were born. They are listed for us here in Matthew chapter 1, Perez and Zara, as the result of her incest with Judah. Number two, Rahab. Oh, everyone knows from Sunday school, you know the record about Rahab. Rahab was a Canaanite, a cursed tribe or nation. And she was from a cursed tribe. And most certainly, as a woman of faith mentioned in the Hall of Fame, in Hebrews chapter 11, in James chapter 2, Rahab is mentioned as a woman of faith. And she became one of the ancestors of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the third one, Ruth the Moabitess, or the Moabites, if you prefer. She is always called with her nation in mind, from the nation of Moab. And the Moabites, her people were descendant from Lot. From Lot. You remember how the daughters, they made their father to be drunk, and they slept with him. And from that incest again were the Moabites. And the Moabites became the worst enemies of the people of God. But here is Ruth listed in the among the people of God. And they were bound into the worship with the people of God until the 10th generation. A cursed nation, the Moabites. But wonderful, she became a believer. It was even forbidden by the law to marry the Moabites. But you know, there is a book that bears the name of Ruth. There are two books in the Bible bearing the name of a woman, the book of Ruth and the book of Esther. But Esther also is not mentioned in the genealogy, but Ruth is mentioned. Look at the fourth one, the nameless one. She is not named. Actually, the Greek only says that by her of Uriah. They don't want to mention her because everyone here in Bathsheba or Bathsheba will remember David's adultery. And I'm sure you remember how the first child that was born in that relationship, that child died. And later David married her and she gave birth to whom? Solomon. So she is named here in the Hall of Fame. And it was still shameful 1,000 years after it happened to name her. Because you remember in that relationship, David committed adultery, but he also committed murder. He made her husband to be killed in the war. Oh, my friends, this is so wonderful. All this is happening for you and me to have a relationship with God. In closing, can I just give you some applications? You can think about them later and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. Number one, this genealogy is another proof that the Bible is trustworthy. You can trust the Bible. Not an iota will be lost. These names could have been deleted. They could have been ignored. They could have been replaced by better names. But you see, the Bible is an honest book. They were kept and they are in the genealogy. And through all these nations, through this genealogy, all nations shall be blessed with Abraham. Without Christ, none will ever be heard of. Second application, this genealogy shows the depravity of all men and of all women. Everyone in this genealogy has been a failure in one way or the other, except the Lord Jesus Christ who came to save sinners. Number three, this genealogy is a display of God's grace. You know the verse? You know the verse? Romans chapter 5, verse 22. Where sin abounded, grace abounded even more. You see again, the genealogy is a display of the grace of God. The grace of God covers the multitude of sins. In God's kingdom, kings, peasants, and prostitutes sit together. No matter how bleak is your life, no matter what is your past, no matter what you have done or what you have never done, Christ saves to the uttermost. Fourth application, Christ is the eternal Savior. The eternal Savior. It is no more. My dear friends, don't ask anyone in which family are you born into. That's a very trivial question. What you need to ask, are you born again? That's the most important question. Do you belong to the family of God? What is your spiritual genealogy? Do you have one? Or this is the only person you need to have in your spiritual DNA? Christ came to conquer all our enemies, not with the sword, but with the cross of Calvary. And finally, look at verse 16. Verse 16. And in verse 16, and Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. You see, Joseph has no role at all in the birth of Jesus Christ. He is not the father. Every man listed here has a father. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, no father is mentioned. No connection with a man, but only with a woman, because Christ broke the chain of sin. My dear friends, this is more than a genealogy. This is an appeal. He's here. The King is here. The Savior is here. The Lord is here. And the one who has no beginning is given a genealogy. And he came to dignify our human nature. My dear brothers and sisters, and my dear friend, if you are still outside the kingdom of God, there is only one logical and reasonable response for you tonight. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Come to him and yield your life to him.